Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4 tonight. Do keep in prayer also Brother Bob Ballou. I believe his birthday is tomorrow, so pray for him too if you would continually. So Ephesians chapter number 4. We've been looking this month at the tongue and our words, and studied. We've covered quite a few different areas. The power of the tongue. Then Brother Rowley came, did a great job speaking about the power of the tongue. We looked last week at what the Bible says about cursing and blasphemy. And I want to read just a few verses here in Ephesians chapter number 4. And we're going to skip through some verses here for time's sake. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse number, look with me first in verse number 14. It says there, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Skip down to verse number 24 in the same chapter. It says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And skip down to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want to look there and draw from there in verse number 31 that we are to put away all, as it says there, evil speaking. Evil speaking. I want to talk to you tonight about evil speaking. What is evil speaking? It's using words that hurt, using words that are dark, using words, as it says there in verse 31 in context there, that are associated with bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. The word clamor means to yell at, like out of control, screaming at someone. Evil speaking. It's contrasted in this very chapter, and we read a lot about it, but it's contrasted there in verse number 15 as truth. Speaking the truth in love. That's the opposite of evil speaking. The opposite of evil speaking in verse number 24 and 25 is speaking the truth, not lying. The opposite of evil speaking in verse number 32 is being kind and tender-hearted. Now, using the right kind of words, we talked about next Thursday, Lord willing, if the Lord doesn't return, the Lord, his plan that we believe be worked out, we're going to talk about and wrap up the month by talking about the right kind of words to say. But tonight I want to concentrate on what is evil speaking. And I encourage you to write down a few thoughts about this tonight with me, because the world is full of evil speaking. And our Christian homes and churches have way too much evil speaking. It's not, I believe, cursing. We've already covered that. It's not blasphemy. We looked at that. That's not necessarily what this is speaking of, especially when you read the whole chapter. It's rather speaking that is hurtful, harming, degrading, that doesn't help people grow but brings destruction in their life. Evil speaking is destroying our country. Evil speaking is destroying our families. Evil speaking is destroying our churches. So here's what I'd ask you to write down, if you would, just so we understand what evil speaking is. Number one, and we'll stick here in the text and see this. Number one, evil speaking, they are words that impair. Words that impair. In other words, they tear down. They handicap. They diminish. The opposite, again, is verse number 14 and 15, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, and look at the result, may grow up into him in all things. So when we speak the right kind of words, we're building up, we're edifying, they're growing up in the Lord, maturing in the Lord. Evil speaking are words that hurt that growth, that take away from that growth, that keep people from growing stronger in the Lord. It's what's talked about in verse number 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. All right, this is evil speaking. But that which is good to the use of what? Edifying, building up. So evil speaking, corrupt communication, is that which does the opposite of edifying. It tears down. It hurts people. The message tonight is not just for us as adults. It's for our teenagers, our young people, I did not plan this. They were supposed to have kids club tonight, but the weather did not participate because they could only meet outside. So they had to come into service tonight. So God doesn't make mistakes. Kids, God wants you to hear this tonight, that you need to be careful the words that you use towards other people. Because our words, evil speaking, are words that impair, that hurt people's growth in the Lord. You see in verse number 14, I'll give you four things that is part of this. Number one, false doctrine. False doctrine, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. If we use our words to share things that aren't true and don't line up with God's word, that's evil communication. That's evil speaking. If I were to get up, you're all staring at me, but if I were to get up and say that you can lose your salvation, that is evil communication. That's evil speaking. Because that's false doctrine. It's going to cause people to, you know, be tossed to and fro because you cannot lose your salvation. Amen. God said, they that believed in me have eternal life. All right, and they have everlasting life. It's something you possess. If you could lose it, then God lied there, and God cannot lie and did not lie. Amen. But the fact is this, those that will share false doctrine, that's evil communication. So be careful what you listen to on the radio and on the TV. Just because it's Christian doesn't mean it's right to listen to. Evil communication. Evil speaking is getting up and sharing or talking amongst yourself things that do not line up with the Word of God, whether they be issues such as baptism and the Lord's Supper, or areas of holiness that the Word of God teaches. If you sit around and talk amongst each other and say, well, I know what, you know, is preached, I know what the Bible and what they say the Bible says, but I don't want to do it, that is evil speaking. Because you're causing people to be harmed in their spiritual growth. If we're hindering their growth in the Lord by teaching and saying false things, it's evil speaking. And the Bible says, put all of it away. Evil speaking is false doctrine. It is false deals. In verse number 14, it says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. The sleight of men. It means they're, basically saying one thing and not backing it up. Our word should mean something. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you shake hands with someone and say it's a deal, then make sure you do your part. Because to not do so is evil speaking. To give someone your word or a promise and not follow through with it is the sleight of men. False doctrine, false deals, false direction. It says, and cunning craftiness. Cunning craftiness. Basically cunning craftiness, being deceivable, deceiving, and the fact that you say, you know, you're going to be there for them and then pull back at the last second. using people for your own profit. A child of God should not use that kind of language and say those kind of things. Flattering with the lips to get what you want and then defrauding. It's evil speaking. False deceits in verse number 14, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Lying, as verse number 25 says, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man the truth. It's words that impair. It's words that are going to hurt people's growth. I hope that everyone in your circle knows that you're a child of God. I hope that everybody knows you go to church. I hope that everybody that you work with understands that you are a believer. But with that comes a great responsibility to put away all evil speaking. Paul, in this passage, is writing to whom? The church at Ephesus, right? The believers in Ephesus. And he's telling the believers in Ephesus, put away your evil speaking. Words that are hindering people from growing. Words that are hindering them from being edified or maturing in the Lord. And if we go around and we teach false doctrine, if we go around and we use people, flatter them, and then not back up what we say we're going to do, if we lie to them and we're known for being a liar, we are hurting people's spiritual growth, their maturity, or them even coming to know the Lord. Put it away from you, child of God. Let no child of God have evil speaking in your life. That includes talking about things that would cause people to question the Lord's working in your life. If it would hinder them from growing, if it impairs them from being edified or growing in the Lord, put it away. Also, number two, words that insult. Words that impair and words that insult. And verse number 15 says, but speaking the truth in what? Love. Speaking words of insult, obviously that's not done in love. When you insult people, you're trying to hurt them. And words that speak and share hatred or make people feel unloved should be completely put away from our lives. We should speak the truth in love. If the words we're using... Now, you can tell someone they're wrong in love. I mean, that you're still speaking the truth. And what I mean by insult, and if someone takes insult the truth, you know, if it's spoken in love, you're going to be able to avoid this most of the time. But what I'm speaking of is saying things like this. I hate you. You're stupid. You're dumb. You can't do anything right. Words that insult. Words that cause people to feel unloved. There's way too much of it in our families and churches. And it causes people not only to question your love for them, but it will cause them to question God's love for them, especially when it comes from a child of God. If we as God's people going around in hurtful ways speaking these things, fathers, don't ever tell their children they're stupid. Don't ever tell your children that they're losers or in any way use words that would cause them to question your love. Because if you use language that causes them to question your love, they will question God's love. They will. It's not if, they will. Pastor Rick Carter does a lot of counseling. He's a pastor, has a huge counseling ministry. And I spent some time with him on the phone over this topic. And he's done a study out of everyone that comes to him. Now, I want you to notice, when I say everyone, that is a powerful statement, because he sees at least one Christian. He don't really counsel lost people. They have different ministries for that. But he counsels almost every week, at least one. And without exception, everyone that comes to them have had issues with their relationship with their father, in the fact that their father has been filled with clamor and always yells at them, that the father compares them with other people, doesn't have time for them, and uses harsh language towards them. Without exception, it makes them question God loving them. I know, because I've seen the questionnaires he gives them, and he's part of the study that he did. Men, you don't understand the power of your words. Be careful. Amongst yourselves, don't use insulting words. You're ugly. You're not accepted. I can't stand you. These words need to be put away. And obviously, as adults I'm speaking to, and children, young people, put those wicked words away. Amen, Pastor. And parents, help in making sure that your kids aren't saying those words. Because insulting words always lead to damage. There's a couple words in the Bible that's used for this. Slander is one of those. I look over in Psalms. Keep something right there in Ephesians, but look over in Psalm chapter 31. Psalm chapter number 31. Look at verse number 12 and 13 with me real quick. Psalm 31, verse number 12. Psalm 31, verse number 12. Look what David says here. Psalm 31, verse 12. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. That's a pretty sad verse right there. That's how he feels. He feels like someone that no one cares about, a forgotten dead man out of mind. Everyone's forgotten about him. He's like a broken vessel. You all get the picture, right? Some beautiful vase or something that's been shattered. Verse number 13. Here's why he feels this way. For I have heard the what? Slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. Why did he feel like a forgotten dead man? Why did he feel like a broken vessel? Because people had slandered him. The word slander means defamation, to talk bad about others, to purposely belittle them. Again, you say, well, I can take it, right? And maybe you can for a certain time and a certain day. But I'm just telling you, everyone knows the truth. There are times when the devil's been on our back for a long time that someone just says the same thing they said all the rest of the time, but this time it hurts. To talk bad about, to use words that insult, slander. To talk bad about them. So young people, you don't talk bad about your friends on purpose to make them feel foolish. It's wrong. You're a very quiet crowd tonight, but this is all Bible. Amen. I think it's quiet because there's a lot of guilt. And I'm not pointing fingers. We all deal with this. Probably most of us in the auditorium, we're not moving or saying much because we've been on the other end of that. Someone, a close friend, a parent, a grandparent, or someone we loved and respected, used language that really hurt. They demoralized us. Or, on the other side of that, we've used language that has done the same. We realize that it left David feeling as a, no one cares about me, no one cares, I'm a broken vessel. It's powerful. Right. Look over in Proverbs chapter number 11 real quick. Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs 11, verse number 12. Proverbs 11, verse number 12 says, "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor." And obviously, this is a proverb that shows a contrast. Anytime you see the conjunction word "but" in the middle of a proverb, it's showing a contrast. So basically, it says you lack wisdom if you are despising your neighbor. But here's the contrast. A man of understanding does what? Holdeth his peace. That means what? Keeps his mouth shut. So the opposite of that, a person that's void of wisdom, it's not despising your neighbor in this verse, in this context, is not just some internal feeling. And your neighbor, by the way, in the Bible, is the people around you. That's why the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. That doesn't mean the guy, for me, living at 3985 Westboro, right? It means the people that are around me. So here, when I speak evil and I use my mouth to hurt the people around me, I'm acting a fool, the Bible says. A wise man will hold his peace. A wise person will watch his language there. So be careful about the words that you use that will slander. Be careful about the words that you use that may belittle someone. Be careful about the words that you use in Proverbs chapter 14. Just look over a page in verse number 21. Proverbs 14 and verse 21. Proverbs 14, 21. He that despiseth his neighbor does what? Does what? And I point that out because there are some young people, there's some teenagers, there's some adults, probably some elderly, right? That we've sinned. We've sinned because we have used language that has hurt and insulted our neighbors and our brothers. You can speak the truth in love. You can talk about sin and point out failures in love in hopes of bringing someone to the truth, because there's a big difference there. But sitting around and looking at another child, a peer, another adult, someone in authority, or whatever the case is, for the purpose of belittling them, bringing them down, or talking bad about them, be it on the playground or around the water cooler at work, put evil speaking away. Those are words that will impair, words that will insult. Evil speaking is also words that intermeddle. Intermeddle. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 4 real quick. 1 Peter chapter number 4. What does intermeddle mean? It means getting in other people's business. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 15. 1 Peter 4:15, but says this, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer." I mean, these are pretty strong things that we're supposed to stay away from. Amen. Murder, theft, evil, or here's another one, as a busybody in other men's matters. Stay away from these things. In verse number, back in our text, in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 27, it says, "Neither give place to the devil." When we use the wrong type of language in our life, we're allowing the devil to have a place in our life. In verse number 29 of our text, all right, it says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." Here's where we're drawing this from. "That it may minister" what? "Grace unto the hearers." our words, when the people that are listening to us should hear, and we should be ministering what?
Grace.
Grace, not gossip. Grace, kindness, tender-hearted, forgiving. Grace, not did you hear about so-and-so. Gossip is a serious issue amongst God's people today. I'm not pointing at Kazadel Baptist Temple, though I'm sure it exists. But I'm saying all of God's people, this is a struggle. We have to be very careful that we be not a busybody. Matter of fact, Paul warned about it. We're going to turn there, but we studied it. Remember when we studied Thessalonians? He talked about those who were lazy. And one of the great dangers of lazy people who refuse to work is that they become busybodies in other people's business. Here, we see that our words should minister grace. What are some biblical words for this? Let's go back to Proverbs again, and we'll come back to Ephesians, but go with me again. We're just doing a Bible study tonight in Proverbs chapter number 26 this time. Proverbs chapter 26. Look with me in verse number 20. Proverbs 26 and verse number 20. It says this. Proverbs 26 verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. A talebearer. I wrote down three biblical terms underneath intermeddling. First of all, is a talebearer. That is someone who we just read about who damages the spirit of someone else. They damage the spirit. It says in verse 22, the wounds of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down in the innermost parts of the belly. A talebearer is someone who likes to share. Ready? Here we go, 2021. The tea, right? You don't know what that is, right? The story, the news, the gossip, the latest, whatever age you came from, all right? But they're sharing something that they shouldn't be sharing. You say, well, it's true. It might be. Who are you helping? Matter of fact, you say, well, this person is involved in this. Well, then let's think about it biblically. What should you do if someone's involved in something they shouldn't be doing? What's the Bible say? Go to them. Amen? Go talk to them. Try to help them. That's the biblical response. But if our first response is to run to other people and share this news, all you're going to end up doing is damaging the spirit. And by that, I mean this. When people hear that they've been talked about, what happens? They quit. They're mad at you. They're done. Even if it was only one person that said it, in their mind, everyone's talking about me. Right? A wound. That word wound's a powerful word. It's not a paper cut. It's a lethal wound. The innermost part. You know, Brother Roberts, in his service in the military, he's had a lot of injuries. But he got a wound one time. He was shot right in the innermost belly, as it says. Right in his gut. His large intestine, he had to evacuate him out to Germany. He was in surgery, in intensive care. They weren't sure he was going to make it for quite a while. He went back and forth, life and death. That's a wound to the innermost part. And when we are talebearers, we are causing the same damage. I don't care whether the person you're speaking of has been saved a week or 50 years. Your words can hurt them greatly. You say, well, these things are true. Then go speak to them privately. That's what the Bible says to do. but to go and be a talebearer. And that includes sitting around the desk, talking on the phone, riding in the car, talking to your friends. Amen. Amen. Talebearer. Another word is the word whisperer. In Proverbs chapter number 16, turn back a few pages. Proverbs chapter number 16, look at verse number 28. Proverbs 16 and in verse number 28. Says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A talebearer damages the spirit. A whisperer divides souls. A whisper. It's the same context. It's that private chat that you're having online, or that text that no one else knows that you sent, or that conversation in the back room. To whisper, to intermeddle in other people's business. And again, understand the context of it all. If you're trying to minister grace to edify and to build up, all right, then what you're going to do is follow the biblical pattern and go to someone, try to help them, try to lead them. But what we're speaking of is not in any way, no intentions of helping anybody, but just sharing the news. Because ultimately, we like the response we're getting. We get something out of it. Because this is one thing I've learned. We do nothing that we don't feel profits us. That's just the way we are. It's the way we're geared. We like the attention. We like the acceptance. We like whatever it is. But a whisper is someone who will separate chief friends. It's really sad. And I've seen it working with teenagers all these years. A lot. I've seen it working with young elementary kids. I've been doing this quite a while, since 97. What is that? 24 years almost? I've seen it growing up in church. I've seen two men or two ladies that have been friends for 20, 30 plus years. And someone shared something to someone else. And all of a sudden, the devil uses it to divide people. I've seen it. Everybody look at me. Split a unified church in a matter of a week. A talebearer. A whisper. God wants us as a church to be unified. To be close. We give the devil an advantage when we stand and talk about one another in a talebearer or in a whisper. There's one more I'll give you in Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. He that soweth discord. I just wrote down the word the gossiper, even though it's not a biblical word necessarily, but that's what we read about here. In Proverbs chapter number 6, look at verse number 12. Proverbs 6, verse number 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually. Then look what it says in verse 14. He does what? Soweth discord. These are not good ways to describe this man when God says he's a naughty, wicked person. He's sowing discord. Keep reading in that chapter, down to verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord what? Hate. That's pretty strong language. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. So he hates these six things, and this seventh thing puts it over the top. Abomination. God, when God says he hates something, that's serious. When God calls something an abomination, it's even more serious. Read what they are. A proud look, one. A lying tongue, two. Hands that shed innocent blood, three. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, four. feet that be swift in running to mischief, 5. A false witness that speaketh lies, 6. And then the 7th thing that puts it over the top, makes it go into the level of abomination, he that soweth discord among the brethren. So, the boys that get together, or the girls that get together, and they're talking bad and saying, let's not include this person. Let's talk bad about this person or share things that ought not to be shared. God hates that. The teenagers that are bundled in a corner talking bad about someone, even necessarily, they may be sharing something that may be factual, but their only purpose in sharing it is to destroy that person or make them look foolish and pushing them away. God hates that. Those who would purposely speak any sort of language that would sow discord amongst the brethren, God hates that. Amen. You know, pastor, they got a white car. I hate white cars. White's terrible, right? And we start down this path. I'm making this up. This has not been said. Praise the Lord, all right? White's always, you know, and you cause, and you end up causing a division in the church. You say, no one would get upset about what color our car is. I have seen far more ridiculous things. Right. Split a church. Right. Not here, thank the Lord, but I've seen it in my 46 years of existence, unfortunately. I remember Moraine Heights one time, my grandpa preached a message and he used a real live fish. He was teaching about the lesson whenever they found a coin in the fish's mouth. I thought it was awesome. I never forgot that sermon. I was a kid, man. He actually used a fishing pole, hooked the fish, brought it out, and he had somehow put a coin under that fish's mouth. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. These people got mad that that fish splashed water on the platform, and those people eventually left the church and took people with them. Unfortunately, I didn't forget that either as a kid. If we talk bad about, you know, our brothers and sisters in church or the pastor or, oh, look at me. Oh, everybody look at me. This is not my notes. God just told me to say this. Or you kids talk bad about Brother Price. You should go to him tonight and say, I'm sorry. And ask God to forgive you. Because it divides. You're sowing discord. If there's something that's not known but you and someone else has been talking about it, you should put all evil speaking away from you. Because a talebearer damages the spirit, a whisperer divides souls, and a gossiper is despised by the Savior. Amen. 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 are an abomination. I'm not saying God hates the person, but he hates that sin. What is evil speaking? It is words that impair, words that insult, words that intermeddle. Back in our text in Ephesians chapter 4, we're all done. It is words that inhibit. Words that inhibit. Looking at your text in Ephesians chapter number 4 real quick. Verse number 30. Oh, verse 29 again. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Verse 30, right in the middle of that, I say it's words that inhibit, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. When we use that language, when we use these words, when we say things that hurt and insult and tear apart and push people away, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. That's what the Bible says. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I know it's a hard message, but it needs to be preached because this is real life. We need to be careful, because when we use these words, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You say, why is that so important? Because you are limiting the work that He wants to do in your life. What's He do in our life? What are some of the things the Holy Spirit does in our life? He teaches us. He teaches us the Word of God. He is that teacher. If we know truth, He always leads us in truth. If you leave tonight having learned something tonight, it's because the Holy Spirit of God taught you that. He's the one that enlightens us and shows us the Word of God. The Holy Spirit brings conviction into our life. He reproves us when we're wrong. He's the one that leads us in the will of God. He will direct us and help us to know what God wants for our life. I mean, the Holy Spirit does so many different things in our life. He protects us. He comforts us. His other name is the Comforter. Amen? So the Holy Spirit comforts us. He leads us. He reproves us. He convicts us. And all these things that He does. And when we're using this language, we are grieving that Holy Spirit of God. We're limiting His working in our life. The word grieve there means literally what I'm doing. You ever seen in football when they stiff arm, right? Someone tries to tackle them and they put that arm out there and keep them from them. Last night, Alex was boxing with the boys, Micah and Eli, and Micah, he taught him. He just put one glove out there, and they were scared to death to come any closer, right? And it kept them a distance, right? That's what, when we use this language, that's what we're doing to this Holy Spirit of God. Back. And then we wonder, if we're involved in this, we wonder why our kids aren't growing in the Lord. They need to shut their mouth. We wonder why the Holy Spirit doesn't seem to be convicting them of things. They need to quit using this language. We wonder why we don't see them, you know, wanting to serve the Lord. Let's get this. We're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. We wonder why more people aren't called to the ministry. I wonder if we're not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Wonder why, as a young person, I still don't know God's will for my life. You know, I just don't know what God wants for me. Maybe you should remove some of this from your life. Quit grieving the Holy Spirit of God. We as a church want the Holy Spirit to work in a mighty way every service. We shared as a family the other night, you know, things, prayer requests to pray for. And mine was to pray that God would save someone in this auditorium. It's been a while. And I know the work is us to going out into the field. But there have been lost people that sat in our service that have raised their hand. We need the Holy Spirit to work in their life. And if we have been sitting around talking and tailbearing and whispering and gossiping and slandering and scorching each other and tearing each other down and all these other things and insulting and hurting other people and driving them away with our words, and I'm not talking about those lost people, each other, we're grieving that Holy Spirit of God. We are limiting His working in our life and in your life to reach other people. If that language is in us, we're limiting how the Holy Spirit can use us. Because He does want to use our words in a powerful way. He does want us to say things that will help people. That's what we'll look at next week. But tonight, evil speaking. Words that hurt others, hurt the cause of Christ, hurt your testimony, grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Would you just be honest tonight and let's do some soul searching.